Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim, sitting in for Bernard Lim. Now, fresh graduates are in for a rocky start in their job search amid a bleak economic environment caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, which could last well beyond this year. Those looking for work are burdened with more concerns and fewer options, from short-term contract offers and rejections to lowering job scope and salary expectations. According to a labour market analysis, younger workers typically have more trouble finding and maintaining employment in a recession. During the global financial crisis from 2008 to 2009, the unemployment rate for all workers peaked at 10%, about half of the 19.2% peak for workers between 16 and 24 years old. Today, we're speaking with Rachel Le, Area Vice President for ASEAN, Hong Kong and Taiwan at Commvault, on what new job seekers can do and how they can emerge from this stronger. Rachel, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're staying safe wherever you are.
Yes, I am. Hi, good afternoon, Howie.
So it's bleak times, I think, for everyone, and in particular fresh graduates, yeah? What sort of advice can you give them as they look to embark on their career during this time? They need to lower expectations, it seems, and how can they remain resilient?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that in this unprecedented time, a lot of people are worried about their jobs. And looking out there for fresh graduates, you know, my advice really to the fresh graduates, as I draw parallel, when I graduated in 1998 during the Asia financial crisis.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Remember those days?
I do indeed. It was a starting pay of $1,400 or something for us during that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I still remember having to graduate with a diploma in information technology. You know, while I was told that it was a well-sought-after career, obviously it was very bleak at that point too. And what I did really during that time was really to look out for opportunities. So I took the opportunity to join WorkAsia 98, you know, which was organized by Singapore International Foundation, where I'm given a chance to go overseas to work for 6 months. At a nominal fee and learn to live life the way it is and, you know, rough it out and learn survival skills, going to a country where you don't speak the language and the culture. And that gave me so much experience. So really my advice to the young graduates now coming out at this time really is don't avoid taking jobs that are less ideal. You know, learning and gaining experience are far more important. As the economy picks up at a later stage, you will have advantage with the experience you gain during this time.
What skills, though?
So I see different skills in the market and depends on really when I went out there during that time. You know, I went out there with IT, information technology, diploma in my hand. I went to be a programmer, right? I didn't go into a sales job immediately, but every job that I take on, I learn new skills. I learn programming skills. I learned to how to set up a computer. And I think that is really a survival skills that you're going to be able to adapt. And at some point, that skills will become relevant in your life.
That's hard, though, to wrap one's head around. Perhaps you did a degree in something in school you would ideally like to work in a job that deals with that particular part of your education.
Yeah.
But that expectation has to change, obviously.
Yes. And I think that in today's market, right, many people who graduate in the school of IT, a lot of my friends, has ventured out into different industry or in different field because of the passion. Many of my classmates, you know, where they graduated with IT actually has gone to teaching. And I think over in this period, that gives people an advantage of be bold to try new things. It might not be in your subject matter expertise or what you learn in school, but take on jobs to allow you to gain experience, especially in the areas where you're able to communicate with people, some technical skills. And I think these are skills that are very key for us as the economy picks up at a later stage.
Which industries might we be able to look at or for these fresh graduates? Because layoffs and pay cuts, that's going to be more coming down the pipeline as the COVID-19 pandemic continues. But some companies are actually bucking the trend, looking to hire.
Yeah. So when I look at Singapore, where, you know, technology has played such a key role, and I was really lucky when, you know, my dad gave me advice to go into study IT while it's not my passion. You know, it was during a May Day rally that late Mr. Lee Kuan Yew spoke about how IT is going to shape the Singapore economy. And I think that the IT skills will continue, the technology skills will continue to be very relevant in our market. And especially at this time where, you know, if you take a look, technology is pervasive in all our lives, right? And when I look at it, you know, even data center employees during this period are considered providing essential services.
But technology is also a very wide industry, so to speak, Rachel. There's AI, there's coding, there's automation, there's all kinds of things. How can somebody narrow in on a focus on what exactly if they're looking to just really quickly secure a job?
I think, you know, if you look at IT providing data center services in the basic of, you know, technology, there is many data center operations out here. And that's a good starting point to learn the basics. And I think that's always an entry point for a lot of the young graduates to go out there. Even coding, right? I'm motivating my young daughters to pick up some coding skills.
Yes, kids are picking up coding today too.
Yeah, because that's problem solving. That's very logical thinking, right? And those are skills that are always relevant to every industry.
What about data? We're hearing so much about data scientists and how it's now a data-driven economy. You can't just be a chef. You've got to be a data scientist slash chef these days. What does this mean for new entrants into the workforce?
So it's very interesting that I find that data is pervasive in all our lives. I'm a fitness tracker fatigue, right? I run, you know, I wear my fitness watch to sleep. I like to track how well I sleep, how much steps I take.
Oh dear, and, Rachel, that's sounding slightly obsessive, but okay.
But you know, the good thing is that this data helped me analyze my lifestyle and be very cautious with what decisions I make, the food that I take. And I tell, you know, I share that with all my customers. I never dream about being so data-driven. Mm. When, you know, when I first graduated from school, right? And now when I look at it, data is everywhere. And I think that in this economy, I agree that, you know, data analytics is a key thing. But there's a lot of automation as well. So there is a lot of courses now. If you ask me, the Singapore government are giving up, you know, money to let employees start retraining themselves, upskilling themselves. And those are good programs to leverage, especially in analytics space. If you ask me, that will continue to play a very key role because the economy is very data-driven. Companies today are very data-driven in every of the decisions that they make.
Here's the thing, though, we have to also reiterate, it's not just data-driven per se. You've got to know the right kinds of data and how to analyze it.
Yes.
Because it can't just be data everywhere, what you do with it, right?
Oh, yes. That's why, I mean, there is many technology today that allow customers to, or, you know, allow people like me, normal Singaporeans, right, to use the app and use the app to define what kind of data is meaningful for us.
Right.
Like, I track how long I sleep in the day to make sure that, you know, do I get adequate sleep or is it a restful sleep? And I think that's fundamentally very important that people understand that analyzing data, you know, it becomes the very key and fundamental of the decisions that we make.
Analyzing appropriate data, of course.
Yes, of course.
Rachel Le is Area Vice President for ASEAN, Hong Kong and Taiwan at Commvault. So what are some of the key takeaways or lessons you've learned in your 19 years or almost two decades in the technology industry? Can't be the same, though, I'm thinking, the advice we give to fresh graduates today versus, say, 1998 during the Asian financial crisis. Things have changed so much.
How you make me sound old, but that's fine.
I'm with you, girl. I was right there joining
Thank
the
you.
Workforce during the Asian financial crisis.
Awesome. So you and me can share many experience and takeaways.
But it's so different already. We've already talked about how technology has changed everything. And of course, there have been comparisons between this particular pandemic and, say, SARS in 2003, which has been already challenging because they're two very different diseases, of course, although there are similarities. And the world then is very different from where it is today.
I agree. And so the two points or three points I'm going to give is really based on current economic climate or, you know, current status of where data is, not so much where, you know, I've spent 19 years, how I start early.
Okay.
So the first point really I look at is constant learning. You know, as you and I know, technology has changed so much. I used to love the Nokia slide phone. Never dream
about
using
the banana phone, we used to call it. Yeah,
exactly.
That was a bit out of my reach, but go ahead.
Oh, God. But I never dream about using a smartphone.
Right.
But, you know, technology has evolved so much that smartphone is an essential now, right, item. We can't go out of the house without it. And so my advice really is to look at constant learning. Leverage any programs out there, any learning opportunity out there to learn about technology, relearn, readapt, and reapply. And that's always very, very key for every new graduates out there. That's one. Second, I look at really in early part of your career, look for a career mentor. When I started in IBM in year 2000, you know, I looked for a career mentor. Until today, she is still a very dear friend, close to my heart, that I know every career decision that I want to make, I seek advice from her because she gave me blind spot views that I might not have seen. And she gave me career guidance on where she feels the next leap should be for myself. And I think that that is very important. And connect with the personal mentor, right? The mentor needs to have similar values, you know, and beliefs that you have, and find that early in your career that will be able to help you. All right. And when I look at these two points, I think these are the key things that, you know, the current young graduates have a luxury of trying to reach out early because social media. If I take a look at where social media is, you know, I share with my colleagues throughout my 19 years in career, there was only a one time where I did a job change and that was done through a tech recruiter. The rest of the time was really through a word of mouth, through LinkedIn. And social media becomes so key in raising your profile and be able to go out there and network. The powerful.
But that's the thing, though, about for fresh graduates, the network might not be too robust at this point.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's where some of the, I have received many LinkedIn invites, and I have to say some of the fresh graduates are very bold. They will send an invite and they will have a message. And I urge every young graduate to look out for meaningful people that you want to connect and drop it with a message. Don't just send a connection call.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And that's very important because you customize a message, you feel personalized, and the person at the other receiving end feel like, okay, you have checked out my profile, you think I'm relevant, and therefore we're connecting and sharing the network.
What were some of the challenges you faced on your journey to where you are now? Would you say that fresh graduates may face similar challenges?
Yeah, and I think I speak for myself in the past. If I look at where I start, you know, coming from a very modest Asian family and a female, you don't tend to speak your mind or be very vocal about your desire and passion. I think over time, as you build more confidence, you need to be vocal about your skill set. And I learned in, you know, very young age, don't let initial setbacks push you back, right? And it's about the desire of trying to excel in every task that you have. And I think that in this modern age with young graduates, where I look at how I communicate with my children and my colleagues who are younger in generation, they are very vocal. And sometimes I also tell them, you know, to put their skills into the right place and, you know, be able to showcase that skills, to show off that strength so that, you know, they get the right visibility to move on with their career choices in terms of where they aspire to go to.
How would people know about what they're doing without them saying it, though?
Yeah. So sometimes,
right. That is quintessential Asian mentality. I know it's a little stereotypical, but it's something my mom has always told me. You don't have to yap on about how good you are. People will know.
I know, people
it's unfortunately
observe, that's why I grew up.
Looking to be something that's not quite true. Or
no,
perhaps there needs to be a balance.
I totally agree with you on the balance. Don't come across as arrogant. I think it needs to come across as that we are humble, but we have the right skill sets to deliver the right results. The company is looking at all the individual can deliver.
What about your perspective on leadership roles for women, particularly in the tech sector?
Yeah, tech sector is a very underrepresented female industry, right? Yeah. And I'm glad that, you know, I've gone into the tech sector. I've really enjoyed myself for the last 19 years. Despite the fact that it's very male dominant, I think the landscape has changed a lot with a lot of the global companies advocating a lot of inclusion and diversity. Even with Convot, you know, our CEO, one of his priorities is to really appoint an inclusion and diversity officer when he come on board to make sure that, you know, we have a very more balanced view. I think today in this date and time, women are very fortunate. I would say that because there is so much of attention on diversity and inclusion now that a lot of opportunities are given for young women like yourself, myself, you know, to excel and go into leadership role, right? And I think that what we really need to do is to live up to the expectation and show the world that we really have talent.
For people who entered the workforce during the financial crisis, I'm not sure we call young anymore, Rachel, but thank you very much. Rachel Le, Area Vice President for ASEAN, Hong Kong and Taiwan at Commvault here on Money FM 89.3. Rachel, thank you so much for your time and your insights, and stay safe.
Thank you, Howie. You too. Stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.